a better way.
The dude did. I don't think the squirrel did.
All right, guys, we are live. Welcome to the Tuesday Coffee Chat. We're already talking about Peanuts this morning. So Peanuts, the top of everybody's mind. I'm on with John Willis from Special Operations Equipment. Say hello, John.
Hello, hello.
I didn't give him time to say hello. And I got Jack Spierko from the Survival Podcast.
Hey, folks.
What t-shirt are you wearing there, John?
It says, you see my tinfoil hat. I see your blindfold.
I've got tarring and feathering on today in honor of first Tuesday in November. What do you got there, Jack?
It's one of our new shirts from our TSP gear shop. So we got a little subdued TSP logo, and I guess if you're going to see it. And I can't see it, if you can see. Oh, and I don't even know which one it is. I don't know if it's the Gardener in a War or the... I'm not sure which one it is. You have to tell me what it was.
Jeff says, only nuts.
Only nuts.
It wasn't only fans for Peanut. It was only nuts. Okay. What do we want to talk about today? Guys, in the live stream, if you have questions, throw them up. I know that a lot of people are talking about the elections and whatnot. You guys thinking about the election much today?
Yeah, I mean,
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, everybody keeps asking me about it. What do I think is going to happen? I don't know what I think is going to happen, what I hope happens, and what does happen, and I can't control any of it. Jack had an excellent show yesterday about it. I'm just going to keep doing my stuff. Like, if Trump gets in office, are they going to certify it? I don't know. If he does get in office, are they going to riot? Yes. If he doesn't get in office, is somebody going to riot? Yes. Am I going to be where the riots are? No, I'm not.
I polled the internet to see what the wisdom of the crowd was. And I gave four options. Harris wins peaceful transition. Harris wins the right riots. Trump wins peaceful transition. Trump wins in the left riots. And then other comment below, which we won't cover. 62% picked B. Trump will win and the left will riot. 17% picked B, which was Harris wins in the right riots.
Which
means that our overall selection there is, what, 89%? Or no, 79% are saying that one way or another, there will be riots. So, you know, if you do the Ask the Audience in the Millionaire Show, it's overwhelming that there will be riots.
Well, which side boarded up all their towns? Which towns are all boarded up? It's not the conservative towns. It's not the Republican-dominant towns. It is always the leftist towns that are boarded up. Where is all the security? Where's the National Guard? It's at the leftist places.
You know, the thing about that is, though, no matter where riots are, they will be there.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Like, the right is not going to go riot in, I don't know, Fort Worth. Like, the first of all, there's how many cities of any size are there that aren't leftist?
Correct.
And where do rioters are not going to riot in? They're not going to go to Camden.
Correct.
Like, because that's a good way to end up unalive, right? Like, nobody riots in the country. There's no shit to steal in the country either. Like, I know that we all have stuff, but not consolidated. Like, it's not like, you know, raiding a Target or a Walmart where, like, there's a whole aisle of TVs that are still in boxes. So, I think rioters are as much out to make a political statement as they are to steal shit and break shit. And I actually think that, like, the vast majority of people that show up at riots, they're not there because they give one single square root of F all.
Criminal opportunity.
I mean, how unsatisfying would it be to walk down the highway John Willis's business is on and vandalize things? It's like you got to walk really far from house to house before you can break another window.
Yeah,
at his
don't
place,
even...
you got to get past his security and you're probably going to get bit by a dog. Before
you're absolutely going to get killed by a dog.
Right.
Yeah, it's only going to open the gate and you're just screwed.
Yeah, we don't even have trick-or-treaters here. Like, they trick-or-treat from mom's car here. And that's in town. Like, we don't have none of that stuff.
Yeah. You got to go where the stuff is if you want to steal stuff and break stuff. Like, yeah. Could you see people walking down my street, Nicole, trying to break shit? Every single house is surrounded by, like, a 6-foot fence with barbed wire on top of it. Like, I don't think you're getting over the fence. I mean, and you know the neighbors across the street, what's happening if you go over there? They're like a mastiff rescue, John. They have like 19 full, huge mastiffs that just run around the yard constantly. It's like, yeah, you're not going to make it.
Yeah, we have too many choke points here for it to be wise to come down the holler.
Oh, shit. Those people can't drive. They'll kill themselves before they get to where you are. They'll go down the ditch.
Well, most
they
of them
won't even make. Like, even if they try, they just.
Most of them don't drive. They're bussed into those locations, and we know most people in a normal car can't get down Nicole's Road, and you know they're definitely not walking from the dam.
And I don't see a tour bus going down that road.
No, but that's how they get there.
Most of your rioters during the Summer of Love and all your Antifa shit, they were arrested 3, 4, even 10 times at different riots across the United States. Those people are paid.
Yes, they are. That's actually something really interesting that came out. I can't remember the group now, but you can like buy cell phone data and they won't tell you John Willis and Nicole Sauce were in this spot, but they'll basically tag your phone with a random string and say these two people were in this spot together and they were also in this spot together, and they sell it as marketing data, but anybody can buy it. So this group bought this data for the Harris rallies and the BLM riots. And they found that something like 80% of the people that attend Harris riot or Harris rallies have been to like rally, like most of their rallies all over the country. Like they're literally, like John's saying, moving them around. But what was really interesting is like 80% of those were at more than 4 BLM riots. To me, that's a little interesting fact right there. And that's also something that's like, that's science and not science TM, right? That's like, we know that we don't know who that person was, but we know that some people went to like a bunch of BLM riots and then to a bunch of Harris rallies, and that many of them traveled like all the way across the country to do it. I don't know how you do that if you're not being paid, because these people do not have money.
Yeah, and that's called geofencing. That's how the cops find their suspects when some crime happens in a shopping mall parking lot or such.
Yep.
And also, if you show up to one of these events and you're the dude without the cell phone, you are the primary target. They are definitely going to pick you up and question you of what you're there for. If you have no digital thumbprint, like, you stand out more than all the people with the phones do.
Do you know
the reason to get a burner phone if you're going to go do nefarious things at riots?
Or, you know, with everything you just said, this is what's interesting to me. During the BLM riots, we had these people doing this, and you had exactly what John just said, conclusive evidence that they were doing this. Do you know, crossing a state line with the intent, not even successfully, with the intent of causing a riot is a federal felony with a minimum 5-year sentence.
Yep.
And while they were ignoring these motherfuckers doing this, where they had them dead to rights, you did it, we have proof you did it, what were they doing with the DOJ? They were sending them to school board meetings to intimidate soccer moms for questioning the administration as to what they were teaching their children and framing them as domestic terrorists.
Bob Lester,
I think there's going to be riots tonight.
Yeah,
Bob's comment's a good one right there.
Yeah, a friend of mine has a bus company. He's hired out 30 buses for the next 3 weeks to be on standby with destinations TBD. I wonder why.
He's probably got a friend with a brick company that, you know, will be delivering pallets of bricks right where.
Yeah, somebody else talked about bricks showed up in Tulsa, I think they said.
Yep.
Luckily, none of them were used. And then Survivor Punk wants that pallet of bricks at his house.
No kidding. And if
unused bricks.
And if you saw the pallet of bricks sitting randomly on the curb there and you went and filled your truck up, of course, you would be arrested.
Absolutely.
But not the guy that left the bricks.
Yeah, for stealing. But if you said who owns these bricks, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Right. And if you pick a couple bricks up to throw out a building, then, you know, we're not going to do anything about that. Like, and of course, we're all conspiracy theorists for talking like this today. Like, there's no evidence that we're right or anything.
Never. Just pallets of bricks.
Now, you know what's going to happen. Somebody's going to take that little piece I just set out and say, Jack Spirko admitted.
Yeah.
That they have no. That's exactly.
I can do it for you if you want.
They'll probably do it. You don't even have to. You can just download it and reuse it.
It's not hard.
They kept trying to get James Yeager to say, when society collapses and me and my militia take over this town, And he wouldn't say it. So a hundred times later, he said, I'm not even going to say the word because you're not going to cut this apart to make it look like I said that. Yeah. You're not even going to get that word out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what they do to Orange Man nonstop, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And people, I mean, and they run with it, man.
They edit this little tiny piece and then.
Yeah. Very fine people.
Both sides.
Yeah. The white supremacists are very fine people. We had a thwarted attempt, weapon of mass destruction, Nashville power facility yesterday. And, of course, he's been groomed by the feds all along, and they're saying his weapon of mass destruction was a drone with a, they're saying, explosive payload is what they're saying right now. But they had two federal confidential informants that have put them onto this person, and that's how they thwarted him minutes before his attack, they said.
Wow.
Crazy.
24-year-old. White supremacist is what they're saying.
Of course he was.
Always is.
Yeah.
Always
the white supremacist. It could be a half black, half Taiwanese transsexual with a manifesto saying that they hate white people, and they would still say it's a white supremacist.
Well, they're saying black white supremacist now. Even Larry Elder's the black face of white supremacy.
Yeah, he's the new face of white supremacy, and now they're already pre-blaming black men for being racist against Kamala being black. Right? So these are black men that are black racists. Do you ever feel like, you know, that what's that thing with, it's set in the 80s with the kids on the bikes, Stranger Things?
Yeah.
And they call the whole alternate universe that all the bad shit comes from the Upside Down. Do you ever feel like you're in the fucking Upside Down, guys?
Idiocracy.
That's more accurate, really. Like, and what's with the left in a fucking Handmaid's Tale? Can they read another book or watch another miniseries? I mean,
like,
really.
Have you read the book?
Like, they're showing up in the costume, but maybe they should think about those burkas. Like, maybe we should focus on the burka.
Well, that's where I was going. The author of that book modeled The Handmaid's Tale on Islam. It's modeled on Islam. That's where the whole concept came from.
Andrew Brown, is that being said that the FBI sold him the explosives, or is that you saying that? Do you have that somewhere being reported? Because that's the case. Like, do you guys remember when the energy weapon or the missile or whatever hit the AT&T building on Christmas Eve?
Yep.
We were there the next day when that happened, a couple blocks over from that. And you remember when the FBI head detective came out and he was with the mayor of Nashville and they were all smiling and it was just super weird? That dude's claim to fame is that he had basically groomed a 17-year-old Muslim kid to becoming radical. They gave him a girlfriend who he lived with for over 2 years, and they converted him and they taught him how to make this device and then gave him the materials to make the device. And then upon going to actually deploy the device, they swoop in and arrested him. That dude has like 11 cases like that. They're all very similar. So it would not surprise me that this kid also, same type of deal. So is that being reported? S2 Underground told the FBI sold him. Then I believe if S2 said that, I believe that is the case then.
I mean, that goes back, right? Didn't the dude that tried to blow up the World Trade Center the first time with the Ryder truck or the U-Haul truck or whatever, they gave him the explosives.
Yes.
And then he accidentally slipped out of their, like, shit. Like, we didn't actually mean for him to set it off. It was a sting. Whoa. Oops. And when that happens, it's like, so are you incompetent or did you do it on purpose?
And you just not care about collateral damage.
My gut is it's not incompetence, but they're so incompetent that I have to at least allow for the fact that it was incompetence, because competence has not been something that I've noticed in my government for like my entire adult life.
It's a trip how all of these incidents that are allowed to happen, the feds always had them on the radar. They had always questioned him prior.
There's the Bart Simpson gag where he was like famous and they're like, say the line, I didn't do it. And they keep redoing that as a meme. And it's like, say the line, Fed. He was known to us. The whole class is like,
right.
That's literally like every single time. Well, he was known to the FBI. Well, really, you know, Can we see the files? Oh, no. Interesting. Interesting.
Okay, we should talk about Peanut and Fred, not because it's sad that animals were killed that somebody loved and had a following, but bigger picture.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that we have a government agency running around that has the money and the time to enforce this. Didn't they say that a teenage was raped in New York the same day by a man who had already raped somebody else and was just released on OR? Like, we can enforce this, but not that. Then this animal had been in captivity for 7 years, they say. The raccoon was being rehabilitated. They came in based on some lady has come forward and claimed that she is one of the people that did this. She has now removed all of her social media. The guy started applying for the educational permits to have the animal. Apparently he was not permitted or whatever, but there is 7 years of history on social media with a combined 3 million followers watching these animals. And he has started a nonprofit, has over 100 other animals in custody. And this was basically the mascot. This squirrel was the mascot of his nonprofit. And they come in, 5 or 6 agents. The raid takes 5 hours with rifles, like an actual execution of search warrant over these animals. They take the 2 animals away. Every day he is posting on his social media, we've raised money, I've applied for the permits, we should get Peanut back any day. And then somebody calls him or interviews him in some manner from a news entity and says and tells him, do you have any comment about the animals being euthanized? He didn't even know. He had no idea that the animals had been put down. He was jumping the hurdles to get the animals back into his custody, and then they killed the animals. They say that on the execution of the search warrant, when seizing the squirrel bit somebody,
yeah,
and they were unclear if the squirrel had rabies or not. And that's how, and that's what they used as the guise 7 days later to euthanize the 2 animals. Now, I've heard it said that squirrels do not carry rabies. I don't know if that's the case, but the fact that the animal's been in custody in captivity for 7 years, this should not have happened.
No, it shouldn't have happened. My bigger observation with this is, if they will raid your house, and if my understanding is this entire raid took like 5 hours.
Yes.
For the raid to be executed fully. If they'll spend 5 hours and send armed dudes to raid your home over a fucking squirrel, what will they not send armed people to your house to do? And by the way, I want to put this up. Let me put this up right now. This is the woman who gave the execution order of the squirrel. And it amazes me that anybody who doesn't fall in line with the left is called a Nazi. If you wanted to make a modern Nazi, this is her official public portrait.
Put up a picture of her next to the Secret Service, the head of Secret Service when Trump shit went down.
Oh, Secret Service Pat?
Yeah.
No, the head. Oh, the head. You mean Cheeto Girl?
Yeah.
The Cheeto Girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
they do have some similarities. She kind of reminds me like is a taller, less heavy version of Secret Service Pat, though.
So the lady that gave the order to kill the squirrel, what agency is she with? She looks like she's dressed up like a state trooper or something.
She's with, let me see. I opened it like separately so I could do it.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. I don't like, she's like animal control or some shit. Like, yeah, it doesn't say exactly who she works for.
Yeah, it's said that to test an animal for rabies, they need the brain.
Yeah. You can also just give the motherfucker rabies shots. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. You could just, like, we're just going to give this dude rabies shots as a precaution, which they probably did anyway, if the damn thing even bit anybody. And if it bit somebody, as tame as that thing was, it's probably because he was rough handling it.
Yeah,
it's very hard to find the answer to the rabies question, just so you know.
There's your answer.
But a veterinarian would know, but it depends on the body temperature. Because I happen to know that birds cannot carry rabies because their body temperature is too hot, because I got a bird through my face once.
I've heard the same thing about possums. Possums don't carry rabies. I've heard that over and over.
I actually verified that. Possums do not carry rabies, and it's exactly what Nicole said. Their body temperature is too high to incubate the virus. Do squirrels.
It kind of looks like squirrels could, but Same thing. I mean, common sense would dictate 7 years without the squirrel going crazy with rabies, it probably doesn't have rabies.
That GPT says that squirrels can carry rabies, but it's rare.
Very rare.
It's rare.
And a veterinarian could have answered that right away.
Yeah. So it's possible. Well, that's all the state needs is possible.
Possible.
Then it's the greater good, you know.
I wonder if they were trying to avoid a shitstorm, and then they just unleashed a much bigger shitstorm on themselves.
I don't think they care. I don't think they care. I think people in these positions, like, look at that woman, right? My guess is that she's a person who really never had any power in her life until she became a bureaucrat. And then she's in a position where you're not really earning your advancement based on being good, just being in the right place at the right time and being good politically. And then when people like that get power, having this kind of like authoritarian complex over whatever their domain is really common. Remember, if you think about some of the governors, mayors, et cetera, and the way they were talking to their own people during COVID, yeah. Like Lori Lightfoot springs to mind. She sounded like an angry grandmother scolding her children. Like, if you think 1 week is bad, what do you get 2 weeks? Like that kind of shit. I see this all the time. If you listen to some of the things Cackles said when she was a prosecutor in California, you know, with a stroke of my pen, I could just destroy somebody's life, right? Like, this is a power complex thing, and it's why power is so dangerous in the first place, because the people that attain it will always be those people. At least by 90% of the people that attain power will be people like that. They're the people that, like, no one was friends with them in high school and shit. That's who they are.
So Monica Keesler is the woman who called the feds on Peanut, and the internet is actively hunting her. Yeah, you don't want to be that person.
No, we're going to change her name to Karen Monica Keesler. Or Monica Karen Keesler, whatever one works better. Because that's a Karen. And when they first posted her picture, I'm like, I knew it was a Karen. Like, she just has the Karen look. You're like, that's a Karen. Like, if you didn't know anything and somebody just said, Karen or not, ooh, wait, could that be a monetary, like an app that would make money? You know, like swipe left,
like hot or not,
or the voting, dating apps or whatever. I don't know much about them because I've been married for 25 years. But like Karen or not, I'm not a coder. Somebody needs to get on that. I would download that app, Karen or not Karen, and you just randomly upload. Like anybody can upload anybody's picture, Karen or not.
Your mother,
Kyle or not, right? Like you're a Karen and a Kyle.
Your mother, the internet squirrel is an internet sensation, and when it came out, this lady in Texas claimed to be one of the people who reported. There's probably many people who have reported this animal. Anytime I put up pictures of rabbits in cages, I have crazy people who I've never seen comment before take issue about rabbits. The same thing with a dog. If I put up pictures of any of my dogs, you always get some Looney Tune that dogs shouldn't be kept in captivity. So it's probably this lady had a moment of stupidity where she claimed this. Maybe she's one of them that did report, but it has completely caused her to shut her stuff down, and the internet is, in fact, hunting her.
And they're going to find her.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to find her.
That's like shutting your shit down doesn't keep them from finding you. I'm not even sure it slows them down.
Yeah, if you have two pieces of information on somebody, and you have somebody in law enforcement or somebody who can run credit check or somebody in real estate, with just two pieces of info, and you only need one, but two shows you that it's the right person.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, election. Back to the election. When do you think we will see results from the election? Definitely tonight by 10 p.m., don't you think?
I will see results. Final results are different, right? Like, yeah. Will you know who won Texas and Ohio and California Tennessee. And Oregon and what have you? Yes. Will you know who won North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, right? No.
What states or major cities came out and said that they're not counting any ballots after the deadline? None of those are going to count.
Yeah.
Somebody made some big press about that. Yeah, you're going to go to bed and Trump's going to be winning. I mean, just like the last time. What will be the case in the morning? Who knows? And even if he does win, are they going to certify? What'd they say? There's 100,000 U.S. servicemen in and around Washington, D.C. right now. They've electrified the fences. They've boarded everything up. You have congressmen saying that they're not going to certify the election.
Yeah. It takes a lot of that, though. All you need is a majority, right, to certify. And the whole, like, the big thing now is Cackles is not going to certify. No. See, this
he
is all.
Have a choice.
Well, this is all a lie to begin with. If we go back to Jan 6, you know, 2021, the idea that if Mike Pence had said, I'm going to send these votes back to the states, that would have prevented Biden from becoming president is retarded. Do you think our founders were so stupid as to take a sitting vice president and give them the power to prevent transfer of power? It was a check on basically administration. And the only thing Pence could have done is say, these particular states, there seems to be irregularities, and he could have sent those votes back to the states to have the states recertify them. If the states would have recertified them without Congress acting, if they would have just sat there with their thumbs in their ass, it still would have been a transfer of power. There's no way to prevent this. Now, the Democrats, because they always think that, like, more restrictions, more regulation, and more law is the solution to everything, passed legislation that has removed that power from the vice president. So Cackles doesn't even have that power anymore. It's not. There's nothing they can do except here's the vote, certify them or don't. And I don't know, man. I don't see how you get like there are. John's right. There are people that are sitting reps saying we will not certify. But that's always been the case. There's been plenty of Democrats who have not certified, voted to not certify in the past. So I don't know.
Yeah. You have somebody saying there's been a lot of reports of the Dominion voting machines having issues. You have, what was it, a congressman just put the password out to the Dominion? How did he even have
Secretary
that password?
Secretary of State for Michigan, I believe.
That guy should be in prison right now.
He should be in prison forever. Yep. And she didn't release, like, a password. She released, like, a string of passwords for, some 80 machines in the state or something.
Crazy. And then you have you had state police at some voting area. I think it was state police. Telling people in line to go ahead and take off because it's too late. They're not going to be able to vote. You had a lady say, no, stay here and vote. And they arrested her. I don't know how that transpired, but I'm sure that there's happened. Video footage of it.
That's 100% confirmed. That did happen. They had a cop telling people to leave. It was taking too long. It was too cumbersome. Just random bullshit. Like, it's up to you. Maybe if I stand in line or not. And again, a lady did what John said and said, hey, no, just stay here and vote. And they arrested her under disturbing the peace and election interference.
Yeah, Raskins has been saying they will disqualify Trump. Have you ever seen the video of him saying it? He looks completely disheveled, like a madman. Just like the judge when he told Trump that he had to come back for trial or they wouldn't delay the first time. That dude looked completely disheveled. It looks like they're literally in their pajamas.
Maybe they are.
They look like your stereotypical movie in a psych ward. Like when the crazy people take over the hospital, that's what they look like. It's crazy.
I don't have the video. I do have the story and the guy you're talking about. That's him.
That is not what he looked like when he was saying it.
No?
No, he
doesn't
looks
look
very
there either, though.
He looks very put together right there.
I guess comparatively. See, my thing with all these leftists has been the eyes.
Yep.
And what I call SSRI eyes.
Well, that's your adrenochrome eyes.
I think it's SSRIs, man. They're all on fucking drugs for mental illness. I'm not even making a joke. I mean, look at Tim Walz's wife and tell me she's not on psychotropic drugs.
Look at Tim Walz.
Oh, he's Richard Simmons on meth.
I'm the fat guy in the van down by the river.
Yeah.
Looks like he's got candy stuck in his hair.
The kick is my favorite thing with him. He does that little kick, like when they're doing pictures. Like, what are you doing?
Like Chris Farley.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just get him more of a, like, Farley was more manly than him. Like, I get him much more of a Richard, you know, think back to the 80s and Richard Simmons when he was a big deal. And come on, girls, let's go. It's Richard Simmons on meth and ecstasy. Is Tim Walz.
It's being said that all the stars that they're pulling out of mothballs for the Kamala rallies, those are all on the P. Diddy list. Every one of them's like P. Diddy. There's all the videos of them with P. Diddy.
I'm convinced Mark Cuban is.
What other excuse is there? Like, see, Mark, and there's video of Mark Cuban saying, That he advised Trump on something, and Trump basically told him to pound sand. So he has it out for Trump. It's not that he loves Kamala. It's that he hates his feelings had been hurt somewhere, yes. And it's over Trump. I saw the video of him saying it.
I can tell you it actually goes further back, his hatred of Trump, and it's over a really childish, stupid fucking thing. So I actually knew Mark. I actually had a purchase order with his signature on it for $1.5 million for a data center that we built for them. That it actually was part of how they were able to sell broadcast to Yahoo and make him a billionaire. And right after that happened, he was at some big speaking thing that Trump was also at. And no one knew who he was yet. I mean, he hadn't bought the Mavericks yet. He was new money, but he had been invited to this thing as a speaker because some people didn't know who he was. Well, Trump sees him backstage. Trump has no idea who the guy is. And he's back there like in his t-shirt and jeans type thing like I would be, you know, and being a regular guy. And he talks to Trump for a second, doesn't tell him who he is. And Trump says something to the effect to him, keep going, kid, you're going to make it. That is what set him the fuck off. Like he wrote this huge, he used to have a blog called Blog Maverick. He wrote this huge diatribe about how pissed off he was. Because he was insulted and degraded because Trump didn't recognize him as a fellow billionaire. And he's like, and I was worth more money than Trump. At
oh,
that
geez.
Time.
Yeah. Right. Who's running his, is it a basketball team he has? Who runs that? Right. Black woman runs it because he got in trouble with some sexual improprieties or something he got lawsuited over. So they put her in place. Who has the most white players on any team? That dude does. Like, it's just funny to hear. PBD, Patrick Bet-David, did a whole breakdown on that whole mess.
It seems like it would be great not to be recognized in that situation because then you know you're getting the genuine person. They're not just being nice to you because you're a known billionaire. That's a good thing. This was brought up earlier. Mark Fisher, BLM leader from Rhode Island, endorses Trump.
I think this happened some time ago, months ago.
Yep.
Yeah, Elon Musk, Trump, Joe Rogan, Trump. Like, and both those dudes are out there just a few years ago saying never Trump.
I guess my point about Mark was he wasn't always freaking nuts. Like, he was a normal dude. Like, even when he was grinding his axe against Trump at this time, I'm talking about when I still knew him before he became too important to talk to anybody anymore, he still wasn't, like, there was no way that man would have been woke. I think that there is some leverage on him. I don't see how a person goes that far and that ridiculous with no leverage, you know, on them.
I think that's exactly what it is. They know that the dirt's about to come out, and the only way to save themselves is to keep Kamala in there.
Will the dirt come out?
Probably not. I mean, he said, look, if I was president, you'd be in prison. He could have gone after Hillary Clinton, and he didn't. Yeah. I think it's live and let live. Let's move forward. I think that's his thing. All the shit they like, you're not going to have women's rights. You're not going to have abortion. You're not going to have these things. You're going to have white supremacy. He's already been president. He didn't do any of that shit.
Yeah, he didn't
leave abortion the way it is.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg said that whole thing that Roe versus Wade was a mess and needed to be undone.
Yes, she did.
She said it should be the state's rights.
Well, and so what I think they're doing right now that's really stupid is they are calling these abortion bans, which I don't know if any states actually banned abortion. They have limits on how long, right? The Trump abortion bans. Trump's had nothing to do with these bans.
It's just like the...
No matter what your position is, if you have a problem with the abortion laws in your state... Your beef is with your governor, your lieutenant governor, your state house, and your state senate. And like senators and congressmen, federal senators and congressmen are campaigning on this now. Like Colin Aldred is running against Cruz here in Texas, and he's campaigning on because of Ted Cruz, right? Women in Texas can't get abortions and will die in the parking lot, which is nonsense. But Ted Cruz has nothing to do with this. He's a federal senator. He votes on federal legislation. Your senator that goes to Washington for you has no other than maybe like to make a phone call and have some influence. They don't get a say in your state politics at all. Period.
Gamer time. I'm not sure what you're saying here that it's a right knee jerk reaction. You said that the DEC will go after anyone that keeps wildlife. did they go after the migrants that were eating the animals and killing the geese and taking the ducks out of the pond? And what about what happened? And I think it's a different state, but you had an illegal that shot a bald eagle and was released from jail or wasn't even booked into jail. So I'm not sure what you're saying here, Gamer Time.
And I guarantee you, if I pop a Cooper's hawk off the roof of my duck coop trying to kill my livestock, that if I get arrested for that, I'm going to prison for 5 months.
I hear farmers and guys that, you know, have some property all the time say that they can kill birds of prey as nuisance animals. And I always tell them, I go, hey, you better be very careful with that. If you truly believe that, you need to talk to Wildlife Authority, because a lot of those animals, those are chipped animals or they are tracked animals. Do not get caught with that thing buried on your property or anything.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's a federal law. It is not a state law. Your game warden might cite you for it, but it will be prosecuted by federal prosecutors. These are federally protected animals.
And you better operate even on your own property as though you're being watched, because many times you are. Like, there are game cameras up there, and there's cameras watching cameras looking for you to take down their game cameras. We've had massive court hearings over this here in this county over this stuff. So much so that the game wardens are now being forced to have cameras on. They have to wear body cameras now when placing any of this stuff. Not that they're not going to just turn it off anyways, but.
Yeah. There is a lot of I just want to cover this real quick because you brought up game wardens. There's some bullshit about game wardens that people need to get over and stop saying. And one is, a game warden could just come into your house anytime they want and check your freezer.
No, they can't. Please stop saying stupid shit, please.
And don't let them into your house to check your freezer.
Yeah. Law enforcement of any brand can't just walk into your house, legally anyway, without a warrant. Now, if like what happened to me when I was a kid, I was a 20-year-old, the probable cause, right, if they witness you, like, taking deer into your house out of season or something, right, then yes, but that would be like if the cops see you like with a girl with her hands bound and a blindfold on and shove her into your door, they don't need a warrant. That's probable cause. That doesn't mean that like your neighbor can call and say, I think John poached a deer, and then they could just show up in Camden and break in the SOE. That's not how that works. And I don't know where that myth came from, and it's not an internet myth. Because I believed this shit when I was a teenager until, like, one of my uncles was like, that's nonsensical bullshit. And he knew a game warden, called him and said, here, talk to my nephew. He's dumbass. And so that's not a thing. But, you know, somebody sees you shoot a hawk. So here's my get-out-of-jail card on the hawks and the eagles. You are not allowed to kill them. 100%, you are not. But if your dog kills it.
Like, what are they going to do?
Nature. Yeah, Charlie's dead, so his statute of limits are up. Charlie killed 3 Cooper's hawks.
If that ever happens, you are supposed to notify the authorities that animal is dead on your property.
The dog ate it.
There's actually migratory game bird laws. It's illegal for you to pick up dead songbirds of any kind. If you see a robin on the road or a blue jay, you can't take it. You can't take the skull out of it. You can't collect the feathers. I mean, none of that shit. And the animal cops are out of control with that shit.
Now, just back to Gamer that said it's a right-ring trigger, that it's the same as the triggers on the left. No, it's not. Nobody's actually triggered about the squirrel as a thing. I eat squirrels. I think they're delicious. I might eat one today if one makes the mistake of sitting on the bird feeder too long. Me and Belle will sit down and have squirrel for supper tonight. I'm not opposed to a squirrel dying. I'm opposed to somebody kicking a door down, bringing armed men, sticking guns in somebody's face to seize their property when there is no victim. That is not about being triggered because you're on the right, because I'm not on the right either. I'm not on the right or the left. That's about personal property and rights. And again, as superficial as a fucking squirrel is, these are the same people that say, we'll never kick down your door and take your guns by force.
Right.
If you will kick somebody's door in to take a squirrel, you will do it to take an AR or an AK.
Yep.
And don't say you won't. So it's
just
not a
following orders
moment. Like, I don't know. I smell autistic libertarian here.
Just following orders.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and everybody in that chain will say that, right? Like, right up to the woman gave the order to execute will say, I had no choice. We had to test it for rabies. It's policy. And this is the problem with bureaucracy. If you follow the playbook, no matter how absurd it is, no matter how wrong you are, you will never get fired and you will always get promoted if you just follow the rules. And so that entire system is set up to create people who do not think, unless they're thinking, how can I exercise this power I have? Because that's acceptable. You're a good bureaucrat when you exercise power over people. That's a wonderful thing.
Liberty Garden, the Mexican buzzers go after newborn calves. So I have a buddy that runs 550 head of mama cows, and they artificially inseminate those cows. So within a period of a week or so, they've plugged them. So they're all going to drop babies about the same time. And we have these giant black buzzards out here that come down on those calves when they're born, and they eat the eyes out of them. And you're not allowed to just kill them. If you catch them commissioning and killing these animals, you can shoot them. I believe there's something for those farmers. But we can't just off those things because they're on your property.
They
those
have to be actively committing cow murder.
I know in Tennessee, from the deer standpoint, when you're having damage to your crop, as a farmer, you can get a special permit to kill all of the deer on your property. It's the special permit, though. You can't just go out there and start offing deer.
It's a nuisance permit, yeah. What they call it here. And again, legal for a fee.
Yeah. Then yeah, you can bring everybody in to help you too. But
if you hit a deer,
pop them, and you're just out there processing deer in your field in the middle of the summer, you're going to get a warden asking questions.
If you hit a deer with your truck, you're not allowed to take it. You're supposed to call law enforcement. Law enforcement has a list of people that will come out and get the roadkill and process it. But even though a deer hit my truck and did $7,000 of damage, I can't take the deer.
That also varies by state. So what you just said is probably the law in Tennessee. Texas, there's no legal way to pick a deer up off the road. Nobody's allowed to do it except the warden who's supposed to dispose of it. But it's also the case that it's one of those laws with zero teeth because nobody cares. Nobody cares. So I pick up deer in Texas all the time, even though it's illegal. I don't put it online and make a TikTok channel about it, though, so the Karen can call and demand enforcement of that law. Pennsylvania, you call, they're supposed to come out and give you a permit and you can take it, but they're usually lazy ass game wardens who don't want to get out of bed in the morning when you hit the deer or in the night when you hit the deer, because that's when they get hit. And they, like, it's usually not in season. They're not really working that hard. So they give you a number over the phone and you write that number down. That's actually what I alluded to when I was 20 years old. I was on leave from the military and me and my buddy found like an 80-pound young doe dead on the side of the road, and she'd been hit front end really hard, so like the shoulders were just bloodshot as hell. And so there's a farmhouse like right there, so he runs, knocks on the door and asks if he can use their phone. There's a deer dead and they want to call the game warden, so they let him. He calls like the main number for like PA game, and they connect him with the like regional warden for that area where the deer is. So he says, here's your number, be gone, take it yourself, I'm not coming out. So we throw it in the trunk of my little freaking Mustang 2. We drive home with it, and my neighbor sees us with a deer, and this is like March, and calls the game warden. Different district from where we picked it up. So the game warden comes, and this is where I'm saying probable cause. This would be probable cause. We had a walkout basement where we processed deer. I'm walking out with these two front legs, like just take the front, you know, shoulders off, and they are blood. I mean, I have blood. I look like I murdered 20 people. And I'm coming up out of the thing, and he's standing there, and he goes, do you boys have a deer here? And when we told him what happened, he did not believe us. But then he called in, and we told him where we were, and they called to that office, and the guy's like, yeah. And he gave us a written permit for it. And I knew what neighbor did it, so I took that written permit, and I could see them standing on their porch like this. Karens are not new. We just have a name for them now. And so I taped it to their fucking mailbox. I taped the deer permit to their mailbox. But yeah, I mean, anyway, that's the red-handed story.
Goldshaw Farms, what's up, man? Hope you're well.
Oh, where is? I don't see Goldshaw. Oh, there it is. Boom. Yeah, Vermont, you can take it. You can take roadkill here, and I'm wondering, so in your area, John, you have to call the police?
Yeah, you're supposed to, I don't know who you're supposed to notify, but you're not allowed to take it if you're the person that hit it. Now, what happens and versus what's supposed to happen, I'm sure are two different things.
Yeah.
I understand the whole don't take it if you hit it, because one of the objections is that, like, rednecks will just be like, boom, right? Just like intentionally.
Isn't going to happen.
But what is it going to happen? Because, first of all, very few, I've picked up quite a bit of roadkill. Very few are worth picking up. Like, for every 10 that I've looked at, I've picked up, like, 4 maybe. And I've gotten good yields out of, like, half of those. Because, like, the one I was talking about, it got hit in the front end. Like, I picked up one 5 years ago down the road for me. I don't know how the hell this happened. It must have been the corner of a bumper. Like, it had a bruise about the size of a 50-cent piece when I skinned it in the ribs. It was a young button buck. But a piece of bone about that big had busted out, like it broke the rib, and it went into its lungs. And it looked like somebody took a knife and cut, like, 4 big slices in its lungs when I gutted it. And that, I got 100% yield out. That's the only one to this date that I picked up. So it's not a really high yield form of deer harvest. And like John said, you know, if you hit a deer at speed, you can do $7,000-$10,000 worth of damage to your vehicle.
Yep.
So people aren't going to do that. The other excuse that I've heard is safety. You could eat a deer that's rotted. Trust me, nobody that picks a deer is going to eat a rotten deer.
Oh.
Or you're going to get run over by a car. No one's going to be in the middle of I-95 trying to get a deer off the median. Like, this is all dumb. This is dumb as shit. This is actually when I start I can't do it right now because my freezers are fucking stocked.
Yeah,
I got a buddy bringing me a back leg today. But as soon as this event's over, like, I've gone to, like, this is my form of hunting. I take a drive, a specific route at night, right before the sun goes down. I take that same drive first thing in the morning. If there's a deer there that wasn't there that night, it's a fresh hit.
And it's good for dog food, if nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great for dog food. So we pulled up. We used to eat dinner with James Yeager every night. So we pull up. And on this, there's two ladies, look like they're dressed for church, and they're out of a Cadillac Escalade. And we get out to see if they need assistance. And they're trying to corral this deer that's running around with its leg flop, and it had been hit. And they're trying to corral it into this Escalade that had white leather interior inside this thing. And I called James. He goes, hey, I'll be there in a minute. So he comes down, and he goes, okay, ladies, what are you doing? They're like, we're going to take this deer to the vet. He goes, no, this deer will maul you. You're going to get blood all over the inside. He goes, cover your ears. They go, what are you going to do? He goes, it's about to be loud. Just cover your ears. And he shot the deer, and everybody was kind of frazzled and up in arms. He goes, look, people get injured all the time by deer coming through the windshield or inside. You have an animal that is panicking, and you're trying to confine it. If you even get it in there, it is going to harm you. And he put the deer down. But I'm sure these two ladies are still talking about this 20 years later from when this happened.
Barbaric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were they going to say? He was the armed one in that situation.
Did y'all ever hear the audio recording of the dude that picked up a deer?
Yeah. Who gets the deer?
And it came back to life and bit him in the neck, and he ends up locked in a – and this is pre-internet because it's only like an audio from a 911 call. But you will laugh so hard you're in danger of peeing yourself.
So who gets the deer, me or the dog?
Yeah, but no, the dog had him in the that's what happened. So he picks the deer up. The deer comes back to life, bites him in the neck, kicks the shit out of him. He gets out of the car. There's not his dog. There's a dog there that wants the deer. And when the deer gets away, the dog goes after the guy. And he's in his words, the motherfucking phone booth. And the dog won't let me out. And the deer bit me in the neck. And you listen to this and you go, oh my God. But John's right.
And kick the shit out of the inside of my car.
I told you, the deer done bit me in the damn neck. And an IMO operator cannot possibly process what's... where are you at? I'm in the motherfucking phone booth. Yeah. Where is the phone booth? He tries to open the door to see what street he's on. And as soon as he opens the door, you hear this dog trying to bite his ass.
Yeah, it's 911 calls. It's on YouTube still, I'm sure. We used to be able to find it.
But that's old, man. That's pre-internet that it happened.
Yeah, that was around Jerky Boys and all that.
Yeah. Probably gave them the idea for it.
We were really lucky once because I went up the road 5 minutes to meet somebody and came back, and there was a dead deer between those two. So I knew that meat was fresh. And I think because I didn't hit, I just called and they're like, yeah, take it. That was back when I would have bothered calling. Now it's like nobody would see you anyway, but... Okay. What happened to 50 tons of ammunition nitrate that disappeared from a train? That's very... Anybody know about that? Because I don't know that about that.
I got a buddy that works for CSX, and we did a podcast together, and he said it's actually more common than you think. Chances are that the hopper got a hole, and it spread over 10 miles back down inside the tracks. He said probably nothing happened to it. Mm. On the other hand, who knows?
If you see a really bright green strip along a railroad, you'll know what happened.
Yeah, it's a fertilizer. Like, he uses it on his property.
Are John, are you and Jeff doing an election night live tonight?
No, probably not. We'll do a normal pulling the thread tomorrow. We'll record all day tomorrow.
I don't think you're going to know anything tonight, really.
No, I mean, we could get on there like everybody else does, but no, we're not. We have stuff to do.
I'll be live tonight, but it won't have anything to do with the election at all.
What are you doing?
I'm going to be with Billy Bond. We're going to be talking about cover crops.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah.
See, now that's a valid use of time this evening.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Like, we're not going to change the election by broadcasting tonight. I think that some people actually think, like, if they stop paying attention, something bad will happen. Right? Because just tell people not to watch the news for a day and watch their reactions. They act like you said, inject yourself with cancer cells or something. Like if I don't watch, it'll spin out. Like, they think that, like, I don't know, like... You ever hear stupid shit people do, like when they're watching a football game, like their team's kicking and they all put their label to the front to help the ball or something? Like, I think that some people have these weird things in their head that are almost superstitions, but they're not codified as superstitions. That they really believe they hold on is what's keeping the whole world from going over the edge.
Somebody said about RFK removing the fluoride, and then somebody said it's a local issue. Kind of. Some states, it is local. California mandated over 20 years ago, any municipality with over 10,000 residents had to have fluoridated water. And you would think that you could go buy bottled water. They also mandated that the bottled water had to be fluoridated, and that's why you can't get certain types of bottled water in California. So yes and no. Here, I know the dude that works at the water plant two properties down, and he says we haven't fluoridated any of our water in over 25 years. We do have a little obscure sign that's all rusted that says that we have fluoridated water. He says we have not fluoridated our water in well over 20 years. It doesn't happen here.
Do you know where the fluoride they put in your water comes from?
Aluminum. It's a byproduct of making aluminum, and it has a skull and bones on it.
And it mainly is imported from China, and it's literally removed from smokestacks.
Yep.
It accumulates on these smokestacks where they're aluminum's one process. There's several processes that result in sodium fluoride as basically an off-gassing mineral is what I'm looking for. And they formulate smokestacks, and then they scrape these smokestacks, and then they put it in a bag, with, like John said, with a skull and crossbones on it, and they ship it here, and your water authority puts that in your water. John, what do you think would happen if Nicole got a bag of that, went down on the other side of her road where there's a creek, and dumped one of those bags in that creek? Yeah, what do you think would happen to Nicole?
It would kill everyone. Well, they'd come after her, a federal task force. Because of all the shit that started dying.
Distributed it at a small, slow rate that was equivalent to what happens to the water that people drink, you would be prosecuted for polluting a federally protected waterway.
You have EPA agents go after people upstream a mile that have rabbits, and the rabbit manure and the urine makes a tea, and it gets into the waterway, and you have an algae bloom down. So they track it back, and they go after those people over the rabbits.
Opening the bag is a federal offense.
So here's my question for people that defend fluoride. Because, you know, we drink it, so our teeth will be good.
It's not the same fluoride. It's not the same stuff that your dentist puts on the teeth either.
I don't even care if it is. It doesn't really matter to me. Do you drink your suntan lotion? Do you drink suntan lotion so you won't get a sunburn or so you won't get your lips burned? Right? Fluoride on your teeth, that's one thing. Fluoride in your body, and if you're following guidelines and drinking, eight glasses of water a day from a municipal source, it's a toxin. I honestly want... I feel like I'm owed about 100,000 apologies by now. I've been talking about this issue for 16 years, and it's at least 100,000 people that call me a conspiracy theorist over those years. And I want everybody to kiss my ass right now and apologize. They did it because it's now officially recognized that what I told you is true. Like, even our government has admitted this now.
Yeah, they're rolling out studies linking it to cancers.
Your endocrine system problems, because it blocks the uptake of iodine, along with chlorine, bromine, all of those chemicals. It does all the same stuff. It blocks your body from being able to process and create its own hormone, hormones.
I don't understand that comment, but I love it.
Well, they were talking about fluoride turning the frogs gay.
Frogs gay. Okay, I got it.
Actually anthracene.
Okay, I'm gonna give that another feature then, because that's a great one.
Yeah.
The frogs are gay because of the fluoride in the water.
What about all the tests that show that Democratic voters, when put on testosterone hormone replacement therapy, turn Republican? There's actually,
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, look that up. There's actually several tests or several things showing that, several pieces of research.
I do believe specifically males that break to the liberal side of things would have a propensity to break the other way if their testosterone was higher. I have no doubts about that, because if you look at them, like, I don't have to be a doctor to go, yeah, my female dog has more testosterone than you, bro. Like, I really don't, like, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen these people.
The fluoride,
and it's not just the soy boys. It's all of them.
The fluoride used to have to be paid as a toxic byproduct, hazardous waste, to dispose of it. And they figured out a way to get paid to use it in the water supplies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, because otherwise it's a real problem, isn't it? You can't, yeah, you can't, what do you do with it?
It was somebody from Alcoa that got that pushed forward. You can find the date that it happened.
That doesn't surprise me.
And the
go ahead.
The Nazis were pushing all of that into the water supply in the ghettos. When they sequestered all those people, they took 80% of the people and pushed them into 10% of the property. And that's where the term ghetto came from, if you look that up. And they were, for years, they were dosing all those people because it makes them passive.
It's exactly why they did it. Passive and compliant, right? Because people that are not passive and compliant don't willingly get on the train car when they know where it's going.
Yeah, what did they do? They dosed them with fluoride and took away their means to defend themselves. What does most of the government want to do? They dose you with fluoride, and they want to remove your ability to defend yourself.
I am so getting demonetized.
That's okay. how much is it really bringing you anyway?
Not much.
Right.
All the money that I really make is from Super Chats.
Yeah.
Like, I'll make...
For those of you who like the show, just pay attention to that.
I'll make $700-$800 a month from YouTube, and 80% of it is from Super Chats.
And PayPal keeps 40% of his Super Chats.
Yep. So it's better just to go straight to their membership programs or whatever.
Fountain.
Patreon keeps...
Fountain's great.
Patreon keeps 10%.
I don't understand why anybody uses Patreon.
I use it.
Why?
Because it's simple. Because if I have somebody have to go through one of those other apps, Noster or something, to deal with me, they're not. Tell me
literally
why.
Literally, like, you could install one fucking WordPress plugin and run your own membership program.
I don't use WordPress.
I know someone that could install a... You don't run SOE on WordPress?
No.
Hell no, I don't. Fuck no, I do not.
With you.
Because Shopify, anybody can do it. I don't have to pay somebody to fix it when I get hacked.
Okay.
I use Shopify because anybody, it's like using an iPad. I literally pick the thing that I want, and it just turns it on immediately.
But somebody could build that on WordPress for him as a subdomain of his domain, and it could be a navigation item on his menu, and then it would be a membership plugin.
And it would be just as easy.
And I know who that somebody is, too, and it ain't me.
It ain't you anymore, yeah. But you know people, because you used to be the person.
Yeah.
I know somebody who could do it for you. He's really good, too, and he needs more work.
We make way more on Patreon than we do on YouTube, and we use YouTube all the time.
Yeah. I went off Patreon and did my own membership because they started booting people for political stuff, like in 2016.
Yep.
And my memberships went way up right after that.
Because you didn't give them an option B. You only gave them one option. Yeah, I did it at the same time. I don't remember who the guy was. I don't even think I liked the person overall. But what got me was what they threw him off for was comments that he had made like 10 years prior that had nothing to do with what he was doing. He had made some comment that could have been construed as racist or something like 10 years earlier, and it had, none of the things had ever been on YouTube or Patreon, and they still nuked him. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not playing that game. Because there's, you know, John, you have a great big warehouse with a whole bunch of shit in it, and you make most of your money shipping really cool stuff to people all over the world. This is how I make my money. I'm not giving up 10% of it, and I'm not risking it to being shut off because somebody didn't like what I said 10 years ago or 20 years
Correct.
Ago.
Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong.
Yeah. Just looking out for you, bro. Don't want to see you fully demonetized.
Yeah, I get it. The day that happens, I'll have something else running the next day.
Yep. Jack's saying he knows a guy if that happens.
Yeah, I do. Are you at least like on Rumble and Odyssey so all your shit that goes on YouTube gets migrated automatically?
So I don't use Odyssey because it never worked and it stopped working for us. It never did shit, literally. I tried to use Odyssey. We were there briefly and then they changed everything again.
Yeah.
Everything I post on YouTube goes to Rumble.
Okay.
And dudes are always like, you should use this other freedom minded thing. And I'm like, well, we are. We've been there for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Why don't you know I'm there? It's always the people telling me that you should use this thing.
But they don't know you're there.
Yeah,
I always do those. I do all of those things if they're easy. I don't even care if they're hard. If I only have to invest like a couple hours and do it once and it's forever, then I'll do it. Because if nothing else, I have a backup of the content. Because when you watch people like Stefan Molyneux, right? Like he had 10 years of shit.
Yep.
Just gone in a day. It just completely erased everything he had ever done. And I had talked to him and told him he needed to do what I'm saying right now. And he's like, I ain't worried about it. Okay.
It's just like Facebook. I use Facebook very, very little. But anytime I make a post on Facebook, we see orders come through of that thing that I posted on Facebook.
That's us on Noster.
Oh, okay.
We have Frozen. One viewer.
Frozen?
No, it's going. I just have it
she
not.
She got it.
So
got
I don't want to my thing, but yeah.
Got it.
That's.
So we're on Noster?
Well, sometimes I put us on Noster, and today I thought I would because people were going to bring up the Freedom Platform thing, and I was going to say, well, you know.
I'm all about it. I'm all for it. But people get so stuck on only using this thing because I'm not going to use the big social media. But I have 700,000 followers on Facebook. I make one post. I guarantee of my viewers, like I am streaming right now to Facebook and Instagram. And then I'm also streaming on my YouTube page, and a ton of these people in here are coming from multiple locations. And I don't use Facebook, but I made a post last night of a shirt on Facebook, and there was 20 orders for them this morning.
Yeah. Hardway has asked me this twice. How did my day of filming go? It went great because Brandel's amazing. That's how it went. And if you've been seeing the cool shorts coming out, guess where they're coming from? Like, I would have Brandel out a couple times a month if it was in the budget. And I'm using those videos to put it in the budget, basically. That's the plan. But
when we filmed, like, if you look at our tool bag video or our large tool bag video, we had product placement for Toyota, Loomtech Watch, Katanica. When we filmed that one, I think those videos are 90-second videos. We filmed for 13 hours on both of those videos. On one of them, we destroyed a complete camera body with the razor actually hit it coming through one of the turns. But those videos, I have 7 million views on those videos because Toyota shared those videos. That's all Brandel. If you look at our purge video, same thing. We filmed out the water was freezing when Jeff was standing in the water and we were out there doing that hoodie video. We filmed for 8 hours that day. The same thing over and over and over and over. But that's how you get that video.
Yeah, it's worth it. And, you know, it's not just that he's a good video guy. It's that he sees the concept and he links it to your product and he understands like what you're going for from a brand statement just by looking at your brand in advance. And that's what you're investing in with him. And then what I've noticed, because I also, he was like, make shorts this way while he was here. So you're getting coaching while he's doing that, is obviously the videos he makes get more interaction because people see them and they're just brought in visually. And that's what you want.
Black Rifle Coffee offered to move him. our friend Rob offered to move him out to Montana. Like huge, huge companies try to. We're just very lucky that he doesn't leave Tennessee.
Yeah. So if you're questioning if you should invest in Brandel, invest in Brandel.
And when you look at the layers, when you look at him edit, he's not audio. He's not editing a video track and a soundtrack. There's 20 soundtracks under there.
I plan to have him on a regular schedule for that because we're like the big change for me in the last 6 months is Hollow Roast needs to have a lot more of my attention. I ask myself every morning when I get up, how am I selling coffee today? It's the first question because it's something that I wasn't paying enough attention to in the last couple of years and it needs to be the thing. It just took me a long time to come to that place. But then at that point, it's easy. It's like, yeah, invest in Brandel. Put some money in the ads. I was pushing K-cups for like, I don't know, $30 on Facebook yesterday, and I sold a bunch of K-cups.
Push them on YouTube. Push them on Google ads.
Yeah. All of it.
Like that's where your money comes from. Like you make money other places, but if we're real, you make a lot more money on coffee, and you could put one day into coffee and make more in that day than you do everything else. And if you have that money, that allows you to do everything else.
Yep. Yeah, I needed to be punched in the nose 20 times before I accepted that reality. John Willis has been saying that for a while. John Pugliano, it's all the Johns in my life. John Pugliano said that to me the day he met me in 2017. Go all in on the coffee, Nicole. So I finally listened.
Well, like if you look at our video stuff, right? We pay about $5,000 a week to do video stuff and all of the media. I make $2,000 to $3,000 a month on that. I'm looking for $10,000 a day on SOE. If I'm under $3,000, I'm out of business at $3,000 a day on SOE. And I can literally make one post on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and make $3,000 more than the bare minimum just in, you know, 2-3 minutes on SOE. I can't do any of that stuff on any of the social media as far as any of the content goes.
So you're not making money with the content per se. You're driving business with the content. And that's something more people need to learn. Everybody wants to be an influencer today, and everybody thinks that you can just, like, I don't know, interview stupid people or, you know, and make fun of them or, like, throw shit off your roof or whatever and be a millionaire. And that is not untrue, but it's also not true. Like all of these people that are big that way, they all have representation and they all have inside deals, right? And if you don't take the inside deal and agree to do what they tell you to do when they tell you to do it, you don't end up with that kind of result unless you're really lucky. Like Ken's huge. Ken Berry makes good money on YouTube or whatever.
Yep.
But he's an aberration. He's not what typically happens. He's not how it typically happens. Some people they hit it so hard that they get enough inertia to go past it without that help. But almost all of these people, Tim Cast, all these fucking people, they're all run by production agencies. And it's on both sides. It's the right and the left. Harry Sisson, that weird freaking kid, like he's got a major production agency that makes him a success. He's being funded by the freaking DNC. Like it's always like that in some way. So these kids have this concept that I'll just go out and do these things and I'll become a millionaire. And more of them need to understand, like, social media is really powerful, but it's much more powerful the way John's doing it. Even me, like, I am not selling a lot of product, but I sell what I sell through the podcast and through social media. I might not be shipping a product, but, like, my membership is driven by the podcast. The podcast itself, the YouTube revenue and all, it doesn't make enough money to put gas in my truck, let alone run my life.
Yep. The aquarium dude, man, that's the episode you did that sticks with me the most is the aquarium guy. I go back and listen to that every year. He was actually targeted to me on YouTube. Amanda and I watched some of his videos while we were driving to somewhere a couple weekends ago watching some of his content.
He impressed me. I went to a thing called Aquashella here in Dallas. It was like a big aquarium show 2 days in a row. And there was like a first day was like VIPs got in early. And that's what I paid the extra money just to go talk to him to set up that interview. And I watched him those other 2 days. That thing opened at 10 in the morning, and it was open till 7 at night. He stood there. He didn't even leave to eat lunch.
It's like a Comic-Con.
He was like the celebrity there. Like, they had, like, 20 of these YouTube fish influencers, like, and they all had a little place to sit down and shit, and then people could go talk to them and get autographs. And there'd be, like, one person here and one person there talking to these people. Corey was all by himself in his own little space, and there was a line that went to the front door because he's a big fucking goofus, but he's also really fucking smart, and he gives his knowledge freely. And that was more, like, they had cute chicks and shit there that did their little fish channels. Well, no one gave a shit. Everybody wanted to talk to the big goofus because I don't know if you've ever kept fish. I know you have, John, but, like, it's hard and shit goes wrong. And when you have somebody that actually helps you with something you love, then you want to know that person. And that's, I forgot about that. I need to run that, like, upgrade the flashbacks and run that maybe next week when I'm off for the workshop as a rewind, because that was a very powerful show because it was a person literally saying, I will give you my secret to success freely. I'm not going to charge you for it. Make a course out of it here. And the reason people like him will do that, you're no threat to them because they know for every 1,000 people that hear it, one will do it and it probably won't be in their niche anyway.
I love
because you can take that template and you can do, it doesn't have to be fish. It could be anything.
I love the breakdown he does with aquarium store owners where he's like, you know, where does the money really come from? Especially big internet dudes, some of them won't have the conversation on camera, but I'm like, what really pays you? Like, that's always my question. And a lot of the dudes that have big, huge internet channels, they work normal jobs, just like a farmer. Most farmers work 2 full-time jobs to be able to farm. And when you find that dude, like, for some reason, they just don't want to tell you, like, where the money really comes from. There was some lady that attacked Goldshaw Farms about a year ago, And she was mad that he had expensive fencing. And she's like, I know what that fencing costs. And I know that he's not making money on YouTube. Of course they're not making money on YouTube. It's the affiliate deals. It's the click-through links. It's the place merchandise. FPS Russia. They came out and did some stuff with James. We had a meeting with the FPS Russia guys. And they said, you know, we always blow up Coca-Cola products. One of them had a demolition license. He said, we get $5,000 every time we blow something up that says Coca-Cola. He said, we drive Chevy. It was either Chevy or Ford. He goes, they give us 2 trucks every year and we get $5,000 every time we place one of their vehicles. That's where the money comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Diesel Brothers.
I had somebody ask me years ago, how do you do what you do with Amazon? Right. I'm like, well, I build trust. And then I'm like, go look at my reviews. Go look at the way I review a product. You know what they told me? It's too much work. It's too much work.
Then you don't want it to work for you. Like,
I do gross sales between $1 million and $1.5 million a year just in Amazon affiliate sales. But you don't want to do it. So why did you ask?
Like, well, because they're hoping the answer is if they just randomly post a picture of an Amazon thing with a link once in a while.
Somebody else's review or something like that. I put actual thought into what I recommend, and if I wouldn't buy it, I wouldn't recommend it. And all they want to do is slap up cheap, quick sites, and I've had people do it. Like, I built this, you look at it for me, and I'm like, nobody's going to buy shit from you.
For guys that don't know how YouTube or how Amazon works, right, I don't need you to buy the item that I posted.
You need to buy an item.
I just need you to click the link. It downloads a cookie. Anything you buy in the next 24 hours, it's actually 48. I say 24 to build urgency. We get 1-2%, and sometimes a dude buys some ladder that's on clearance, and I get $85 off of the ladder purchase, right?
Yeah.
That happens. And it works for digital media. It works for a lot of things. Well, there's huge YouTube channels, especially like GunTubers, that maintain Facebook pages, and they just they post something in their industry every day, and then they run contents. They run contests with their audience on Facebook. Hey, if you share this, I'm going to take one of you guys each time and give you a $100 gift certificate or give you recognition or whatever the contest is. That way he has tons of other people on Facebook sharing that out. And then it goes to their audiences. All we need is for you to click the link. If you remember any time you're buying on Amazon, I go to Jack's link all the time when I use mine. I go click Jack so that he gets some little percentage off of my orders. And I order every day from Amazon because I can't use my own Amazon link. So I use Jack's.
And so part of that though, if you're going to do this, if you're going to take that model and you're going to start promoting Amazon as an affiliate, you better sell some of the shit you recommend. I've been doing this almost 10 years now. I've had 3 reviews by Amazon staff because of the volume that we do to make sure we're legit. And what protects our ass is they can go to my site, they can take like my top 50 selling items in any quarter, and all of them are reviewed and all of them are converting because I send people there. So yep. Then you get all the pull through John's talking about, and they're totally okay with it. If you only have pull through, they will nuke you. They will absolutely nuke you.
And I got nuked over a garlic peeler.
See? Nicole
got nuked. My mom heard that podcast and bought it, and they knew she was my mom, and they were like, it's inside trading, and I was just taken off, and I was like, well, fine. I'll put my attention elsewhere.
If you really want to put that on turbo, then you build shorts around the item of you using the item and reviewing it for real, which will build your audience will have trust in you over that, right? Rather than just putting some random thing up every day that's on the deal of the day, especially if it's something you have possession of, hey, you can see I really use this case on this phone. I truly like it. Here it is. Here's a link to it. Now you've got content around it. You've built trust with your audience, and you're getting click-through on that. And then you can go to the manufacturer and go, hey, I've been doing this through Amazon. Would you be interested in doing an affiliate deal with us? And most people will say, yeah, we'll do an affiliate deal. It costs them nothing.
I'm always amazed when a company won't do an affiliate deal. It's like, okay, you're going to set your incremental revenue percentage of marketing budget. You're only going to get business I can send you. And you watch these people advertise, and they'll give somebody 10 grand for a banner for a month, and there's no guarantee of anything. And you'll be like, I'll sell your shit. And they're like, oh, I don't know if we want to do that or not.
Yeah, they don't understand how sales work when they're doing that. Like, they're not thinking about what that can bring or realizing it. Something that I want to add before we move on from this topic is if you are somebody with a product like John and I, we're selling a product, but we also have a social media presence. And you're getting into like smaller, like I am, you're getting into sort of more of the ad targeting part of it. The wealth of information from the people that follow your personality towards targeting where you should be selling your product is very helpful. So for those of you who are like, okay, I have, 500 people listening to my podcast or whatever, you can look at the demographics and see. And if you have your social media presence, you can look at who follows you, and that helps inform the kind of targeting that you can do with your other efforts. And that's a really helpful thing to have. That's why, although the podcast doesn't technically make me a ton of money, it makes me some money in the form of memberships. It makes me the insights I need to sell the coffee better target that. And I'm seeing like instant payback on some of the ads I've been putting money into lately. And then it also just helps sell the coffee. That's what it does. That's my advertising arm, is the podcast.
It also gives you instant feedback. When you market something a certain way, you see an instant bump in orders, and then you know, okay, this message needs to go in a little golden case, and I need to break it open and pull it back out whenever I need to sell more. You can't, if you use the same message over and over every day, over and over and over, unless it's like your strap line or something, like it wears out. But if you know, like, this resonated. And then you also can say, like, when you do break it out and you use it again, it doesn't work. What was different? And it's that instant signal from the market that social media gives you. I remember way back when all this shit really started kicking up and brands actually started, like, stop calling it stupid and actually started getting on Facebook and Twitter and all. And somebody asked Gary Vaynerchuk, well, what's the real value of a Twitter account? And he said, what's the value of your mom? And what he meant was, what's the value of your reputation? Like, what's the value of being able to talk to people who listen to you when you're in business? And it amazed me how long people drug their feet on it. Like, I'm talking about big brands and all, right? Like, and you know, today every presidential campaign, every cryptocurrency, everything has like social media accounts everywhere. And I think a lot of people look at that and think it was always that way as long as there was social media. It wasn't. You guys got to remember. When like Facebook started, Twitter started, all these major brands said it was stupid and no one would ever use it. Of course, they were all run by friggin' aging boomers in silence. That's why. It's just, we're going back 25 years now.
I'm never going to use one of those cordless phones.
Yeah. I'll admit I said that. I said that as a young person, too. Like, I had a pager for work, and I fucking hated it so much. The last thing I wanted was somebody to call me.
An elevator? We don't need an elevator. We have stairs.
Well, once I got into sales, instead of being a technical person, it was like, okay, I need a phone now because I have to close deals. And that's what got me to do it. And then smartphones changed everything. Because I'm going back so long, you flipped your phone open when you made a call.
Well, and I think like the last thing Jack wants is for anybody to call him, even to this day.
Yeah, if you can't say it in a text message or an email, like there are people who, if they say I need to talk to you, unless I'm in the middle, like right now I couldn't do it, but if I'm not in the middle of something, I will talk to that person right away. Most people, even people that I will talk to, it's like, what do you want to talk about? Because it'll inevitably be something they could say, well, I wonder about this. Yes, send. I'm back to work. It's not that I don't want to talk to you. It's that
I
work for a living. I have shit to do. And I don't need a 30-minute call that it can be handled with a five-second text message.
Yep. Even if somebody I know calls me, I message them back and say, hey, what do you need?
Yeah. Same SMS, not calls, Adrian says. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and I feel very much in league with like the Gen Zs and the millennials with that, because that's how they are. And maybe it's because we're younger Xers or something, like we're in this crossroads or something. But I don't want to spend time talking to a person that's unnecessary to talk to if I have something else to do. I want to be very clear. If I'm sitting on my porch having a beer, I'm not going to talk to anybody.
But, I need a record.
That's a small portion of my day that's going on.
I need a record of it. Like we try to do it on Messenger. If I have to do it through SMS, through text message, I can screenshot that and send it to anybody else that I'm going to hand it off to. They know what I promised. They know what the conversation was. I need a chain of custody.
Yeah, I like that too, John, because it'll be like, well, you said, and I'll be like, no, I didn't. And I'll look at, oh, you're right. I'll do it.
If I'm having a conversation with somebody, I always pull another person or two in, so that I have another point of reference, I have their take on it, and I have somebody that can remind me as to what happened.
Yeah. Although if it's too many texts back and forth, sometimes it's easier to clear it up with a quick conversation. But then it's a good idea to follow that up with a, like, in summary, this is what we're doing.
This is what we agreed
in
to.
Writing. Because that's bitten me in the ass so many times.
I'm usually not doing business with you if we can't do it through text. If we can't just do this in a couple of text messages and I have to talk to you, we're not doing it.
I'll give allowances to that because sometimes there's a complicated component.
Depends like, who it is.
So I recently, it's not really a business thing, but I recently handed off something to somebody to pick some parts out for me for a biochar kiln. And it's JR, right? So he'll be bringing a couple barrels for me in these parts. And when he sent me his initial list of parts, I'm like, no, we need to talk. And it wasn't because he's not smart, because he's a very smart man. And it's not because he didn't try. It's because I wasn't clear, and it was actually hard to be clear in text. So I think there are those, like, technical things that kind of, like, and that way you got this instant feedback mechanism, and you know if the other person understood what you were saying. And as soon as he understood, it's like, I got it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And then he hung up.
And then that's why I would call him. That's why I would ask him to do it in the first place, because that's the conversation we're going to have. Like, we have now rectified the situation. We are now going to go back to our lives, right? Like, because what amazes me is, like, and I think men are, and again, Nicole is more in some ways with communication like a man because she's direct. But, like, I'll talk to some dude that I haven't talked to in 5 years about something that we needed to talk about. And my wife will be like, well, how's his kids? Yeah. I don't know. I assume they're fine. Cause if one of them died or something, he probably would have told me. Like, he called me about like a part on his truck and I told him what I thought about it. And then he said goodbye and I said goodbye and we were done. And there are people that are just mystified by this. Like, they can't understand that. Like, well, we had the conversation about the thing. The thing's done. We're done. Like, I'm not going to sit here and, like, let's, like, John, so how are you feeling today?
Right.
Like, are you emotionally stable with the election coming up? How's Amanda doing? Like, I don't have those conversations with people, again, unless I'm in recreational mode.
Mm-hmm. Which is twice a year.
I had about 2 weeks in between Christmas and New Year's, but then that's isolated to family and everybody on the outside's told to go screw. Right? I mean...
I can say, as a woman and a direct communicator, people think I'm mad at them a lot. And this year in particular, people have been pissed off at me because I've been too direct and I decided that I can't work with them if they can't take it at this point. And that might bite me in the ass, but it's too hard.
It doesn't bite you in the ass.
It does sometimes. Like, some people have said something, but I'm like, whatever. Like, that's how I am. And it's not that I don't like you. It's that, like, we got shit to do.
So, like, maybe there's one person out of 10 that could have turned into something better if you had allowed for their talking, I guess, or whatever. But you will save so much time that you probably would have never even met that person if you did that all the time, if that makes sense. Like, you get so much of your time sucked. Like, time vampirism is a thing. And you know, there are signals that you're going to deal with a time vampire where I'm just done. Signals like, you get an email that says, John, I have this really great idea for a business, and I want to talk to you about it, but would you sign an NDA before we talk?
I love the NDA, guys.
Delete. Like, just
the NDA guy.
I used to respond. I have, like, a canned response, just like, you got to be fucking kidding me or something, you know? And now I just delete. Like, I don't even have time to, like, insert signature anymore for that. And I get two or three of those a week.
Yeah. Hey, just shout out to Benchmark who did this sign. They just said, hey, Nicole, your sign looks awesome. I know they did this sign and Radio Made Easy for sure. Did they do your big sign too, John?
No, that's a metal one. They've done a bunch of these signs that we've got.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good dude. We actually
It was fast. Like, I got him the logo and it was here in like a week or maybe it was a week and a half. I was like, what's this box? I'm like, oh, I know what this box is. So.
Yeah, if you guys want something unique for a housewarming, you know, instead of buying some nonsense at the store, get something unique. He'll do it. He'll turn it around. You'll have it in a few days. And whoever you give it to, they will never see another. Instead of live, laugh, love or some bullshit, get something real. So-and-so's Homestead or whatever the name of their business
play
is.
Play love. So let's talk about something fun. Can we talk about something fun?
Social media wasn't fun?
How about this? Christmas is coming. Which of these is a Christmas movie? Die Hard, Paul Blart Mall Cop, Gremlins, or all of the above?
I haven't seen the middle one, but I'm going to say all of the above just by going out on a limb.
That did win, though Die Hard was close second.
Yeah.
Well, man, I think I still don't know what Paul Blart is. Paul Blart was like a stupid movie, like an airplane type stupid movie, even though it wasn't quite that far extreme. But I think most people that have seen it don't even realize what it was. It was a Die Hard parody. Paul Blart is, I can't think of the guy's name, big fat dude.
Yeah.
And he's like a mall security guard. And then like this gang of thieves take over the mall at Christmas time. And he's the only one in there fighting back the whole thing. And if you realize it's a parody, the surprise ending's not a surprise. Like, it's exactly what you would expect would have happened. So I say all of the above. I just did that to kind of troll people.
I knew you were going to have
a Christmas movie, guys. It has to be, right?
I knew you were going to have Die Hard before you ever even named any of them. And I never.
What's your audience think, though?
And like, I never put the Mall Cop thing together as a parody of Die Hard. But now that you say it, I do see that.
Think about where he's like putting the Band-Aid on his arm and shit. It's just like, it's completely a parody.
So we're watching it when I come to your place next week?
I don't know if Dorothy will tolerate it. She doesn't like stupid movies. She likes that one, though. So
in the garage.
Maybe she will. I don't know. We'll talk to her.
Yeah. Investing 2 hours in a movie for me in the last decade hasn't been something I do very often.
Yeah. But Dorothy doesn't dig the stupid movies. She did like that one, though, because I think it fits for the kids, and that's why. The second one sucked, by the way. I mean, even compared to the first one. Because I'm just to be clear, I'm not saying this is a good movie. I'm saying it's a humorous movie. There's a difference. It's not good. It's not good. It will never win an award. Die Hard. Die Hard should have won awards. I guess it didn't.
It just wasn't the time for it then.
Yeah.
So here's an example of somebody who I don't know who you are, but I know who you are if you tell me your name. So next time I talk to you at the farmer's market, tell me who you are.
I have a little thing on that too. Would you please, folks who follow us on social and YouTube and whatever, if you come to an event and you talk to us and you don't go by your real name online and you introduce yourself to us and you tell us your real name, please also tell us who you are if you follow us online and we interact with you, because I've had people like the last SRF. I got home and like I, you know, people shout out like, I had a great time having a beer with you at SRF. And I'm like, I didn't know that was you.
Yep.
And if I don't care, it's because I know you as like your weird handle. And then you come up to me and say your name is Bob. Right. And I don't know who Bob is. And I would actually, I'm saying this because I would actually like to know and be like, thank you. Right. Because
you'll get a. you'll have a different experience. You'll get a very different interaction. We'll have a very different conversation.
Yeah, because I know something about you.
It happens all the time. I'll meet some dude in an event, and then on live that night, he's like, hey, man, it was nice to talk to you. We would have had a completely different conversation if I knew that I talked to you every single night, and I now know something about this internet persona versus the dude who was in front of me.
Hey, yeah, I know how to say Haas's name now because I met him in person at SRF, and he did that.
Yes, and so did Rachel. Right? Rachel sets good examples for people. She hits the like button. She tells other people to do it. She shares the show and she introduces herself as Rachel. She also uses the same name online as offline. And on that, like Jim says, I'm Jim, remember me, right? So, okay, Jim, do you know how many Jims I know?
Yeah, I have no idea who Jim S is. And he says he's met all three of us.
But if you tell me you're that Jim,
yep,
then I'll know because we all have a lot of shit going in our heads, right?
Print out your avatar picture and put it on your thing.
That would be true. Yeah. Or like if you come to the workshop and like what we do, we hand out name tags and you write your own name on it. Write your handle underneath it. And then the other reason we do you know why we really do the write your own name on it?
Because we don't know your name.
If you print them, they will absolutely always turn to the back. Anybody that's been to trade shows know, I think we could create a perpetual motion device with like power generation. If like every time you turn it, it immediately will turn itself. And you take the lanyard off, flip it around. It's still, I don't get it. It's worse than the butter and bread thing with the toast and the floor. There is no badge that stays forward for anybody. So we just say, write it on both sides.
Yeah. Like AJ says, this is why I have AJ Harrison on all my socials.
Yeah, then we know who he is.
Have the same name across all platforms.
Yet nobody doesn't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Sonny.
Everybody knows who his Sonny is because he'll walk up and hit you. Did you let him hit you, John? You said you were going to.
Fuck no, I did not.
God damn it.
He almost.
You gave me your word you were going to let Sonny hit you.
I don't think I ever saw Sonny after that.
Yeah. It was like, here he is.
And I need to be able to function the rest of the day that day.
Yeah.
I told you he'd give you his little.
Sonny will be here soon. He'll be back.
All right. Sonny, you have to hit John next time you see him.
My proxy.
He already gave you permission. You don't even have to ask, but little tap. Little tap. Not a one, like a 0.2.
I don't know that anybody wants that.
Oh, it'll change your life for the better. It really mm-mm. will. It will.
I told him I'd never been hit in the nose, and he got this look on his face, and I'm like, no, don't do that.
You don't want to get hit in the nose.
I don't want it broken, thank you.
The thing about the stuff that Sonny teaches and the guy that I learned from Val teaches is that you can't believe it until you experience it. It's impossible. You look at it and go, no. And I always just say, go get hit. And because I think it's good for somebody's mind to experience something that they really believe can't be. Right? That's why I think, like, you know, when you take combatives training in the Army, you know what you do on day one? Your instructor chokes you out. You sit down. You've seen it. You've seen Thad do it and chokes you out, puts you under. And you go out in about 3 seconds. You come back and, like, it will ruin TV shows forever because you see the guy get choked out and he's laying on the ground for, like, an hour. If a dude lays on the ground for an hour after you choked him out, you mess something up and he's dead. You come back really quick. The first time someone does it, it's almost like a drug. It will never be like that again. There's a euphoric component to it. I think it's where these weirdos like choke each other having sex and all get it from or something. But it's almost like a death and rebirth. And so you experience that. And then if, you know, it will in training, it will happen again. Somebody will get the advantage on you and choke you out. It will never be the same though. Like if you let somebody do it a second time, it's like chasing a drug that you like the, what was the song by Tom Petty that was really about heroin? I can't think of it now, but it was like basically chasing the dragon. Like it'll never happen again. But that one experience will change everything. It will also let you know that if you ever end up in a real situation where that's happening to you, you have one chance to prevent it. And if you don't, you're dead. I don't care who you are. If somebody gets that lock on you and you don't get your head turned, if you don't get something done, once you're out, if they want you dead, you're dead. There's nothing you can do about it. And that's why it's part of the training. But that's why you should get hit, John.
Wired Tight says he'll let Sonny hit him for the gram. We can get you hit by Sonny and get you an SOE tattoo all on the same day.
December 7th.
A 1, 2, and a 3. from Sonny, right? Sonny does 1-2s and 3s with his punches.
Four. That's there's a I level. Count. There like is
little,
a
little tap. Little tap.
You don't want the level 4.
No, you don't want the level 4. You're not getting up. Yeah, if, especially a guy like him that's been doing it his whole fucking life. No, you're not getting up. Not for a while, anyway. You could hyperventilate and die with a 4.
Well, since it came up, tell us about the party, John.
December 7th, we're having a party here. SOEparty.com is the website. You will get all the information there. We have a Facebook group for it, SOE Party Facebook group, and there's a lot of updates, current updates in there as well.
Yep, get RSVP'd.
It's a day that will live in infamy.
Well, we tattoo him while he's out. No, we'll have a tattoo guy here, though. Brandon will be here.
Did Sonny get his 41 tattoo? Yeah, he did.
He did. Yeah, there's actually quite a few people with that. I've seen a few of those.
Yeah. I always wondered, why don't they do that? Is it just people like it hurt when they get a tattoo?
Or no,
is
there are. Like,
would it fuck things up if you had Novocaine?
No, there are people that are actually being put fully under anesthesia, okay. And then multiple artists, so they wake up and all of a sudden they have whole sleeves and legs and arms done, all kinds of crazy stuff. But my understanding is that if you have a lot of work done, depending on your body and how you react, you're going to have a lot of toxins in your body from that. So maybe it's not such a great idea to get a bunch of work done all at once, depending, you know, how that is. You're going to be, you know, bed rest for some time.
I was thinking more like the local and not doing a lot, but like I've had
some people
have like tattoos like over their, you know, nipple area, and they're like, that really, like, this really hurt. And I'm like,
they have a numbing cream. Our guys have used it here when they've done some of the work on some of the bigger pieces on guys.
Jeff says that's pussy. Ain't pussy for me, bro. I ain't getting a tattoo.
All right.
I don't have any interest in having a body. See, I understand that I'm going to get old, and right now I'm only like, you know, 20 years from being really old. And I know what happens to tattoos when you get old.
Wired tight. You better be careful what you joke about there, buddy. You might want to look up some of the SOE tattoos.
Oh, I've heard those stories, as a matter of fact.
We have a Pornhub channel just for the tattoo video.
What Sonny's saying is also what I've heard is that where it's close to bone, that's where it really hurts because you're pounding on that bone.
Yeah, palm of the hand. Jason had his whole hand done with one of our logos, and he said that was the most – and he has tattoos everywhere on him, and he's got – he said that was the worst on his.
Looks like VIP tickets are going up soon.
Yep.
SOEparty.com, guys.
Knock broccoli. That's okay. Chopping broccoli. You do not have to have a tattoo. You do. I want all you guys to do whatever it is you want to do until it affects me or somebody in a negative manner. I think you should have what you want. I think you should do what you want. I don't think we need the laws. I definitely don't think you need to have money stolen from you. You guys, whatever it is you want to do that makes you happy and makes you your life how you want it, that's what you guys should do.
I mean, I'll say, like, just because I said I don't want a tattoo doesn't mean I fault anybody else for it. Like, there's a lot of things I don't want to do that I don't fault somebody else for. And there's a lot of things I do that I don't fault somebody else for not doing. I mean, people would say, like, you know, I'm a pussy for not getting a tattoo or whatever. I don't want one. But I would also turn around and say, you know, if you're afraid of my 338 Win Mag and it's going to hurt you when you shoot it, well, then you're a pussy. But I don't actually think that. You don't want to shoot, you know, high caliber rounds that are painful with recoil? Don't do it. Like, do what you want to do.
All right.
It's a strange way to live, isn't it? Like, to actually be okay with other people doing things that you don't like.
But it's a better way to live because then you don't have to worry about the drama.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's then like, there is drama, right? People get mad that you don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
that's their
drama and not my drama.
Yeah, you can have all the drama you want, right? Like, I'm a non-drama dude.
Not my problem. Not my monkey.
John, look at John. Is that not the face of a drama queen right there?
He's 100% drama every day.
Drama, doesn't it? Like, that is the ultimate D-gaff face. Like, I just don't give a fuck what you do.
I aspire
to get my level of D-gaff to the level of John Willis's D-gaff. I really do. Like,
for guys,
I do my best. I cannot quite pull it off to your level, bro. I really admire you. I'm not being like, I'm not fucking with you either. I'm dead serious. Like, I admire your level of not giving a fuck about what other people do or say.
For guys that are not aware with the likes on here, on most devices, if you simply double tap your screen, especially on a phone or something, it will give a like. You don't have to back out of the comments on most. Some devices you got to back out and actually give the thumbs up. But if you double tap the screen now on most devices, it will give a thumbs up.
Won't do it.
Yep.
No. Okay. Trying to play with the machine.
Live Tissue Lab, March 28th through 30. I want to go to that one.
It's going to be badass.
Yeah, I want to go to that one.
That'll be in Ohio.
Yep, that's fine. I know how to text that person, so that's one I can make time for sure. Okay. Is anybody actually watching TV, like anything close to clowns and say? So I think this person's asking, is anybody watching TV and seeing what the clowns say, actually believing that what they say is true? The answer to that, I think, is yes. And that's hard for people to watch other people fall into that trap when you see through it.
When you have women going to the polls in North Carolina to vote dressed in a Handmaid's Tale uniform, yes, they believe it.
How many are there? Is that multiples? Or there? I've seen one, or I've heard of one.
Yeah, I've only seen one, but if there's one, there's more. There's more.
I think they should walk around like that on a daily basis.
I do too. It's fun to watch a rich, privileged, suburban white woman with a $750,000 house herself to the women in The Handmaid's Tale. That's
wine,
just
wine moms. The most racist fucking people in the United States. Wine moms.
Most of them aren't wine moms anymore now. Now they're like white, single women with cats and Franzia.
What do you call them? Aspen what? Aspen, what do you call them?
The Aspenites.
Yeah.
The Frisco Aspenites. So when I used to work up in Frisco, which is a very affluent part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, very, very wealthy people. Like the average house is $500,000 and up, and that was back 20 years ago. And the minute, like today, it's like 45 degrees this morning. The minute you get under 50, you go to Starbucks and they're in there like decked out with like $5,000 worth of clothes, like leather pants, the boots that come up to the knee with the fur on them, the gloves. They look like they're rich ladies in Aspen, and they're all sitting like with their pumpkin spice lattes and like huddling together at the table like they're cold. They're inside fucking Starbucks. It's 75 degrees in there. But they have this fantasy that they want to live out, and that's why I think they're attracted to things like The Handmaid's Tale and 50 Shades of Grey and whatever. Like they don't live in the real world at all. And like what we've done, and I think this is intentional propaganda, we've made it where you want to be oppressed. If you're not oppressed, you're not anybody. So they have to find a way to be oppressed.
If you know anything about The Handmaid's Tale, and you think that the outcome of who is in the White House makes that a reality for you, you married the wrong dude.
You better worry about
Sharia. You married the wrong dude because
you better
that
worry
means
about
he's willing to do that to you.
It's Sharia law because that
I only
shit
know
happened.
About it what I've seen by reading the Wikipedia entry on it. I don't even really I know the basics of what the gist is, but I don't know. I think it's stupid. I think it's absolutely stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there's the TV show. I haven't seen it. I've read the book, which was some noted piece of literature at some point as part of my libertarian policy days. And having done that, then you married the wrong dude. Take the costume off and just, like, go do something real. That's a good one.
Literally anything happens, they're all in The Handmaid's Tale. But I think that's what it is, right? I think it's that we've made it cool to be oppressed. We have like the oppression Olympics, right? The more oppressed you are, the more valuable you are to society.
Well, it's like having the handicapped pet, right? You can go get any number of animals at the shelter, but you want the one that has to have the special wheelchair and all the medications and shit. And that's what they're doing to their kids now. They're completely fucking up their kids. And my kid identifies as this, or my kid has this issue. Like, why don't you go and adopt a real fucking kid that actually has issues?
Instead of giving your kid freaking, it's Munchausen by proxy is what it is in my opinion. It's But I don't know if you guys know who Cat Turd is, but he's a huge influencer on Twitter. And I've got this poll up right now he did. What's the biggest threat to our country? Russia, Iran, China, or white liberal women?
Yep.
91,800 votes. 89% for white liberal women. I don't think he's wrong. Or I don't think they're wrong. The wisdom of the crowd.
Look at this. If there was an organization that hooked you up with rich, influential men, there would be a line around the door trying to get in.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It wouldn't be everybody. I'm
looking at TikTok.
That would be. But they're all bringing like women in from like, you know, Thailand and Russia. That's where that market is. Wonder why. I'm not going to say why. Just wonder. What's the audience think? Why? Why would a guy with lots of money?
Comments.
Why would a guy with lots of money, a guy that makes $1 million a year, decides he wants a wife, say, fuck it, I'm going to import one from Russia or Thailand through a service?
Not only that.
I don't
that,
think you should put them in a handmade uniform. I really don't.
Not only that, most guys that are very successful are older. They're not going to date women of their age. And people cannot fucking understand that. They don't have to date. Women want security. That comes oftentimes with money, and that means a more mature person.
Yep.
Those guys don't want the bullshit that comes with that woman. They get a younger woman.
That's true. It might not be fair, but fair. Talk fair. Fair doesn't work.
Is it different than how it's always been?
No, I don't think it is.
Right.
But you also have, like, it's one thing, you know, younger, older, whatever, but what you have is, like, some of these women are, like, 28 years old. And they have, like, 4 kids by 3 guys.
They don't want that either.
And they wonder why some dude that, you know, makes 700 grand a year doesn't want anything to do with that. Well, it's too much hassle.
Not
and
only
it
that.
Also, what's your judgment? What kind of judgment do you have?
In many states, when a guy gets with a woman who has kids and cohabitates with them and then that breaks off, they end up paying child support on those children.
Correct. Doesn't happen here, but it happens in a lot of places. Here, unless if you officially adopt them as your own, you're not responsible for them.
Yeah, what do they call them? Trad wives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the number one reason they're importing women. They're looking for trad wives.
Well, and that surge is happening more and more, if you look.
Go
the trad wife movement.
Go find an Amish woman.
Yeah, they won't let you in.
No, but there's plenty that leave.
Yeah, see, they won't let you out, but they will let you out, but they won't let you in.
Yeah.
It's an interesting little society. I don't think, has anybody ever converted to Amish? I don't think you can.
You can.
I know you can do Mennonite, but I didn't think you could become Amish.
I think you can become Amish.
They let Vanilla Ice go live with them for a year and do his show there with them.
Yeah, but he wasn't.
Correct.
I'm going to ask ChatGPT, can you convert to Amish?
I am confident you can convert to Amish.
Sure.
Fallen Amish women are the gold standard in wifery.
The Jack Amish.
Yeah, here's Angie says you can become Amish, but it isn't easy.
It is possible for outsiders to convert to the Amish community, but it's a rare occurrence. They do not actively recruit or evangelize, and conversion typically requires deep commitment and understanding of their beliefs and lifestyle. So I'm out.
So years. It's going to take years of being associated. So you're not going to convert to Amish then, Jack?
I have an idea. Hear me out.
Friends.
The Amish like money. They could create an Amish light, right? Like you're not really in, but you're in. And then you buy like Amish citizenship, and then you can fall under the protections they have from the government.
It doesn't have much protection, man. They're raiding the shit out of the Amish lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm back to my Indian plan. Like, I think Indians that have reservations should sell provisional citizenship.
Imagine the powerhouse.
You don't get any voting rights, you don't get any stipend, but you are officially a member of the tribe, like a second-class citizen, and you fall under their protection. Because no politician wants to fuck with an Indian. That is the last, that is the fourth rail. That's not even the third rail, it's the fourth rail. You don't fuck with an Indian reservation. I think they should be doing all kinds of shit. They should have, like, they should be building their own medical facilities and stuff and doing, like, basically medical tourism. And some of them have done that a little bit, but more so like the Native Americans of this country should become the richest demographic in this country, but something holds it back. And I'm not sure what it is. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you that the opportunities are there. and they just, I think it's because they so don't trust us, and I don't blame them, that they won't do anything that would actually benefit them by interacting with us. You know, they'll talk to us and whatever. I don't mean that they like hate us, but like business ventures are very difficult to get going with a native tribe.
Just be friends with the Amish. That's what I was saying earlier.
Be friends.
Did you hear pharmaceutical companies are funding and putting Native Americans on their boards so that it negates them having lawsuits because of the Native Americans, because of the tribes? They can't be sued because they are Native American.
No.
Bette David was talking about that yesterday. Somebody who was being interviewed on Valuetainment, they had that conversation yesterday, and they looked it up, and there is something to that.
The world we live in. We're going to get zoning in my county, Jack.
Yep, ours is coming.
It just happened. They rock quarries came in and bought land, started rock quarrying, and it shook people's houses.
Yeah.
And so now, in order to have a rock quarry in my county, you can't be within 5,000 feet of a church or a residence, which, unless you are regulated. And that was the problem they were solving. And the actual thing that got passed is you can't have rock quarries, methadone clinics, cryptocurrency mining.
Yeah, that was weird.
And there was one other thing. They like threw all this other shit in there. And my favorite one was the cryptocurrency mining.
Well, you know where that's coming from.
Data centers are bad.
So the cryptocurrency thing is happening. Where's the Buc-ee's at? What town is that? That's where Brandel's at.
Rossville, I believe.
So they bought 30,000 square feet of buildings. To give you an idea, mine's 10,000 square feet. They put all these data miners in there, and there is a resonance that comes out of that building 24 hours a day, and people are complaining about it, and that's where that's coming from. And that's right up the road from you.
I was trying to figure that out because it just got added at the last minute. But by passing this, they then chartered the county commissioners to enact zoning in the county.
Yep. They'll be there to look right up your ass the next time you want to put something solar or any number of things.
So you have the camel's nose in the tent. Like, instead of saying, okay, we have this issue, let's pass a specific local ordinance for this one issue, let's create zoning. What could go wrong? Like John said, you have somebody literally where my father lives now, rural Pennsylvania. If you plant a tree, you're supposed to apply for an earth disturbance permit.
Yeah.
I think that no one's going to fucking do it. But like, that's literally the law of the land. Like, you can literally be cited for planting a tree without an earth disturbance permit.
Yep. It's coming everywhere.
And next they're going to zone us as agricultural and residential, and to preserve the rural feel, not let us do commercial.
Yeah, they're going to preserve the rural feel by destroying the rural nature of the.
Yeah, and then they're going to zone other things commercial that should never have been. That's I watched Oregon get ruined this way.
Yep,
it's the same.
It's about
same
20
thing.
Years from this time, so I now have a decision to make.
I feel like they take these areas and they migrate them over enough before they do this. So that they can get away with it. Because if I think back to like where I grew up in PA, when I was young, a teenager, if somebody would have done that in Schuylkill County, there's all these mine shafts that have been open for like 100 years that if something goes down there, it's gone.
Yep.
And the person would have went down a mine shaft. I am not talking hyperbole. I am not making, I'm telling you, if somebody had tried to do that in 1985, they would have just disappeared.
It's like your four lane stuff out here, right? Making this road a four lane.
Yeah.
The four lane doesn't go anywhere. It's federal grant money that comes in every year. They have to do more of this, and they also have to do their other DEI bullshit in the town. Yep. And when they don't do that, that federal grant money doesn't come in, and they've already tasted that federal grant money. It all doesn't go to the roads. It goes to local businesses and other projects. And that's they get their hooks in by that money, and your local government is able to graft that and go buy buildings that they don't need and all kinds of other nonsense. You're seeing it happen right now. We have a group called Hip Camden, Tennessee in Facebook. You want to see some crazy Jerry Springer kind of shit? It's in there. It is there. It is everything you see in the craziest movies and the Agenda 21 and Agenda 30. It's happening and taking place right there.
So I have a call with Alan Booker Wednesday.
Awesome.
Because I'm thinking the only thing to do is an HOA. a freedom HOA, though, or something like that.
You got to come up with a word like reverse HOA or something.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really mean an HOA.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
How do you opt out of the zoning? You get zoned in a way they can't mess with you.
Yeah. You're not allowed in here.
Yep. Yeah, Angie says we need to get together and buy our own town. I sort of have, but there just aren't very many people in it, and maybe not enough people to get this done. But
see, I think the problem with the chartering a town, like that's a good step, but the county supersedes the town, and the state supersedes the county.
Yeah.
But most of this bullshit happening in the country today is not the federal government or state governments. Most of it is county governments, because the people behind it have figured out this is a soft underbelly. Like, it's not real hard to go into, you know, like, 7-person county commission office and buy 5 of them. And once you have 5 of them, you can do anything you want. And, okay, you're only getting one county at a time, but it's a long game for these people.
You have people
and
that are...
Once they get it done in a county, it becomes boilerplate, and they just spread it to the adjacent county, and they spread it to the next county. I had a dude on early this year out of Colorado. They live in the middle of fucking nowhere. This shit's happening there. I mean... Yep. This place is so remote, John, that it makes, like, where you are in Camden look like Dallas.
It's
remote, and they're still fucking with these people.
It's part of the Agenda 21, which became Agenda 2030, which is now America 2050. You're seeing it happen all over the place, just like all the water rights and cutting off these farmlands. What you're not hearing very publicly is you have these right-of-ways coming through. They're eminent domaining 5 miles wide.
Yeah.
20 miles wide and 100 miles wide. These swaths, 100 miles wide. What's at the end of all these things? Data centers. Where's all the water going? Cooling data centers. It's happening all over the place.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it wasn't
that bad, but there was a thing back in the 90s called the Trans-Texas Corridor, and it was going to run from the Mexican border to St. Louis, and it was going to make the embarkation port for Mexican goods as part of NAFTA, St. Louis, Missouri. And they were going to rebuild the I-35 corridor as part of it. And instead of taking like enough to like upgrade I-35, they were going to take a mile on both sides of it, put in railroad and all kinds of shit. And it ended up, it was eminent domain that killed it. Like, there was enough ranchers and shit back then that were willing to shoot somebody that they eventually walked away from it. But it was full tilt bore. And it was under Bush Jr. It wasn't under Ann Richards or some Democrat. It was under Bush Jr. that they were trying to do all this.
And there's been people that have done, you know, freedom HOAs and tried to do their own towns. They usually get labeled as a cult. You end up with a federal search warrant. I mean, look at it. It happens all over the place. And all they got to do is say kiddie porn. And then nobody even looks to see if it's true.
See what Jason just said there, though, about Texas state law. You can 400 square feet. Yeah, it doesn't work if your county has minimal building requirements, which most do now, of between 1,850 and 2,500 square feet.
Not only that,
Texas has done that now.
Not only that, we could have tiny homes here in Tennessee, and there were so many tiny homes and sheds going in that there were no mobile homes being sold. And the mobile home people went to the governor, and the governor leaned on the local municipal power companies, and they said, you can't energize these. You can only energize a tiny home if it is on wheels, a trailer, or a foundation mount, and you can't make it foundation mount if you don't have a permit. And to get that permit or to put energy on a tiny home, you have to have a perk test, you have to have a septic put in, you have to have a pole from the power company, and you have to have a meter. They're making it the workaround for that is that you put your own power via solar on there. And they're passing things, and even this small town has some regulations now about that solar being grid tied. Well, we don't have grid. Well, you have to get grid, and you have to tie your solar.
Yeah. Florida did that.
Yep. They're trying
to. They were making off-grid people tie into the grid.
Yep. How are we getting that done?
Pay for the privilege of tying into the grid.
It all starts with the septic system.
Now, we can here build all the tiny homes we want in an unincorporated area. If you have a primary residence that's either when you build it, it meets the minimum, or it was built before there was a minimum. Then you can put all the tiny homes you want on your property. You can tie them into your power. You can do all of that. But you can't go out and buy like a 10-acre parcel and then build a tiny home on it, even in like Johnson County, which is just, or Collin County or whatever, that are all rural. They don't have a big city. And it's all boilerplate bullshit. And what they sold the county commissioners on was, you need to protect your property tax base. You can't have these little houses coming in. You need to make sure that houses are substantial so that you protect. So when I hear somebody say you have to protect your housing tax base, your property tax base, what I'm hearing is we want you to make sure that your children will never be able to buy a house. That's what I'm hearing when I hear that.
That's the whole 2,500 square foot minimum, right?
Yeah.
Who can afford a 2,500 square foot minimum where both spouses work? Both pay more taxes, both can afford more property tax. They're not going to lose the property or push back as much as we raise them, creep the property taxes up. They're going to just continue to make money and be the slave.
But these same people will give me subsidies and tax breaks to put in an apartment complex with 500 square foot units in it.
They're
totally fine with pods. They're just not fine with independent pods that are not part of the matrix.
They're doing it right now. They're building little 200 square foot units in Nashville that look like prison camps. I believe there's 20. And then they're giving those to homeless people. And then that homeless person is allowed to have one roommate if they choose to. So you're going to have 40 homeless people living here who don't work.
In 200 square foot pods.
Yes, but we can't do it.
Mm. Yeah, it's.
Mm. Mm.
So I guess they're trying to seize our electric power generation as we use our own money to put it in.
Oh, they're absolutely, like Tad just went through this. He just had EG1 Solar came out, did an install. They did the whole thing. They filmed it all, but he had to grid tie it. Now he has, I believe there's maybe a switch, maybe not a switch, but it had to be grid tied so that that power went back into that system.
Yeah. And that sucks because it's great to be on the other side of the power with your solar if you have power.
And then the codes guy just came in. They hired a code guy out of Chicago who knows why he landed here or what happened, but he's the guy that stirred up all the chicken mess about people having chickens. Now we used to run like a cable, right? It was a piece of cable that in one, it had three sheathings, but it was three cables, right? Now he wants you to run all separate. You can't run that cable where you could just cut it and pull them in and you had hot, ground, and neutral. Now he wants them individually. It just makes no sense. He's taken everything that has been done.
Individually conduited?
I don't know if, yes. And I don't know if it can all go through one conduit or individual. I believe it is individual conduit, but one wire, one wire, one wire. That cannot any longer be where you bought a roll that was three strand wire on there. It makes no sense.
Jack's head's turning right now.
I'm sure he has some reason for it, but like they're going through and they're leaning on all these people that are buying these old buildings and they want them to bring it up to code. They literally told these guys, hey, you got to put this bathroom in. So they put a bathroom where he said he wanted it. Oh no, you got to take that wall down. I want the bathroom door on this side. He never said the bathroom door had to be there. It's like he's setting them up for failure. Maybe they didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I know for electrical, you can get a consultation permit, which costs money, and they tell you how to do it, and then you permit it, and they come back, so you get two permit fees for one project. And I know people who've done that, and it's a different inspector, and they come for that second one. They're like, well, I don't care what that guy said.
It's all about the fees. Hey, you built this thing we told you you had to have, but you didn't pay for it. Now that it's here, I'm going to make you tear it down. You better go apply for the permit. It's all about the money.
It's always about the money.
And bureaucrats.
Occasionally people that are Karens. So I had a good friend that Karened, and it cost him. And it's why you shouldn't Karen. Like I had a friend and he got really ticked off that all the houses in his neighborhood had these shitty fences. So he called the Department of Making You Sad and they came out and they wrote up everybody with a leaning fence. And then they made him tear down this overhang that had been on his house for 10 years because they said it was in the easement or some shit. Like he brought that voodoo on himself.
Yep.
Like, be careful, Karens. Like, you don't understand that you're like, what's that book? It's called like two or three felonies a day or something.
Three felonies a day.
Like the average person commits three felonies a day with no knowledge whatsoever.
We were talking about it this morning with the kids.
That's show me the man and I'll show you the crime. That's exactly what that is. If you make enough legal legislation, you could pin something on anybody.
And if like, we spend enough time,
34 felonies on a former president from a single misdemeanor.
And if we spend enough time looking and we don't find it, we'll just create one.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a meme that's George Washington and it says, Benjamin, get the muskets. And I start feeling that way more and more anymore. You know, that's why I like John's tar and feather shirt. Like that's brilliant. Like hear me out. Like there's a plan for this.
And Jason says, and In Dallas, you weren't getting a tag on electrical inspection unless you left $100 in the panel.
Shit, just tell me what you want me to bribe you. Let's get on with it.
It's actually easier to deal with that. I have a friend, his best friend moved to Thailand, bought an island, like a 2-acre island, and I mean like an island you can walk across a footbridge to get to. And he runs like a disc golf course. He has chicks, you know, pretty Thai chicks running around with coolers selling beer and shit out of the back of them and all, and in golf carts. And he said, yeah, I had to pay this dude like $2,000 to get everything approved. And I have to basically slip him $200 a month so he'll leave me alone. But he can function. It's almost better if you live in a corrupt system that has like market, like that's a market rule. That's like they figured out this is how much you could get from people that come over here to do this. And this keeps everything, like, I don't like it, but I kind of like it better than this shit where randomly they just keep making these laws. And then they have these huge entities that can enforce these laws. And they're not, most of the time, they're not laws, right? They're not laws. They're policies. They're bureaucracy, you know, policies. They're not, nobody passed the law and said that you can do this now.
Yep. Well, on that note, we're at 2 hours, Jack.
Yeah.
And John.
I need to get going.
Yeah, I know you do. So let's go once around the horn. I'll start this time and let you guys figure it out from there. Guys, if you want to connect with me, I do a podcast called Living Free in Tennessee at livingfreeintennessee.com. And we do roast some pretty good coffee at Holler Roast, hollerroast.com. This is my go juice for the homestead. That's how we get everything done here. And we'll be at the SOE party with a Holler Roast booth on December 7th, where we are unveiling something you can only get at events, and that is sipping chocolate. It's different than hot chocolate. It involves, I have tasted many different chocolates melted and crafted into this drink, and I do add a little bit of my 15-year-aged homemade vanilla to that. First 24 people get a mug with that. So check out it's at soeparty.com, right, John?
That's right.
That was a new website for me this week. So yeah, but don't forget, get your coffee at Holler Roast, and I'm going to hand it over to Jack next.
So I have a show called thesurvivalpodcast.com, but that's a lot of shit to type. So you can just put in tspc.co and it'll take you right there. Come check us out. We have done 3,580 some episodes. So we've probably talked about something that you're interested in. You can use the search button. If you like what you're hearing today, but you want to hear more like homesteady type stuff, I'm going to actually be live with Billy Bond of Permapastures Farm tonight. And we're going to be talking about cover cropping and adapted. So instead of being a farmer doing 40 acres or 4,000 acres, doing this with your garden, your homestead, your orchard, and how that can be a part of producing more food for yourself. Because frankly, we're going to need to, because the stuff we're talking about here today is not going to go away, and being self-sufficient is going to be important. So if you want to check us out, should be on my YouTube channel, but sometimes Billy's not quite the most technically astute person, so we'll see.
You can make it so. John, go. You're closing this out today.
Special Operations Equipment, SOE, tacticalgear.com. You can find us on all social media platforms, and that's the website, SOE, tacticalgear.com. See you guys next time.
See you later.
Said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.